The Holy Ghost will set your feet a dancing, and will send your heart a dancing too.
Oh yes,
the Holy Ghost will set your feet a dancing.
Oh, the Holy Ghost will through and through and through.
Oh yes, the Holy Ghost will set your feet a dancing, and will set your heart a dancing too.
Oh yes, the Holy Ghost.
Will set your feet a dancing.
is that something that sent down from heaven? Oh, how it thrills my soul. Oh, you just can't buy it with this world's money. It is more precious than the finest of gold. And now that I have it, oh, I cannot doubt it. Oh, how it thrills my soul. Oh, it just keeps bubbling over and over, this precious Holy Ghost.
God. Well, this feels good in here.
Amen.
Appreciate having Brother Steve Smith from Paducah and his wife come in. We appreciate having you all with us. Praise God. And the Lord wanted to make so sure that he stopped by that he had him break down his car on the way to through here, and he had to come back through here. Praise God. Then Brother and Sister Coles be with us tonight. And Sister Christy, aren't we glad to have them? Praise God. Then Brother Adams and Brother Gore, Brother Jones be with us this morning and then be back tonight. It just seemed like it just gave us a shot in the arm, didn't it? Appreciate it so much. We're glad to have God's ministers and people of God stop by and be with us. So if you didn't know the service was already open, well, you do now. Just take your liberty in the Lord. Let God use you.
was there to praise him, to thank him for giving me life, for giving me the Holy Ghost, for bringing me to the body. And lo and behold, I felt something, but I didn't know what it was. So when Sister Smith went up to dance the second song, when she went up, did the little jig, and she put her arm around me, and here I go, and I'm like, oh my God, look at me, I'm dancing. He did something. I'm sorry, y'all don't know, but I have bad knees, and I don't have any cartilages at all on this one, and so it locks up on me if I sit too long, or even if I'm just on my feet too long, or anything. You know, it's all the time in pain. I have no pain right now. I don't know what happened, but I know God touched me. He touched me at least for tonight. Oh, I enjoyed this so much because, like I was telling Sister Angie, you don't know what you have to. It's gone. I mean, I was always an active person in you know, helping people and dancing myself and all that. But for a while, I couldn't. And it hurt me. It hurt me not to manifest. All I could do was do this, you know. But, oh, I was really doing jigs tonight and today. And thankful. I am so thankful. So I didn't want to go home without thanking the Lord.
For being here. My name is Brother Macon Gore from Detroit, Michigan. And it's real good being here in Little Rock, Arkansas. Again, amen, with Brother and Sister Smith. Amen, Brother and Sister Weiniger. Amen. And always have a good time when I come. Always feel this wonderful, precious Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm going to put this on the inside. I won't lose this. I'll give it back. Amen. Don't look like y'all really need a preacher right now. Look like y'all just need to keep doing what you're doing. Huh? Sure, a preacher is to stir up that's within you. But it looked like it's already stirred up and cooking. So I'm just going to jump in the oven with you. How about that? And just cook a while until we're done. Amen. So I certainly appreciate what I feel tonight. Amen. You know, sometimes when you sit in services, you don't feel this. And it's not that we come just to feel this, but I wouldn't want to serve God without feeling this sometimes. I like to feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I like to be, as this sister said, I like to manifest his wonderful spirit in me. I was thinking earlier as we was listening to the service this morning, and there was so many good things said that stirred my heart, and I get excited when I start hearing things that connects me to God. See, that's what preaching and teaching is about. It's about connecting you back to God. And if we don't get connected to God, we're pretty much on our own. And I don't want to be out there on my own. I don't want to be out there with a paddle, because, you know, you get tired pretty quick trying to row your way all the way back to where you were. I like to have a motor on mine. You know, something that when you pull it, it'll take you where you got to go. And that's how the Lord is. When we really pull on him, he'll take us where we got to go. But we got to pull on him. Amen. Isn't that right? So I like to share just a little bit with you. I left my Bible over in Texas, in Brownsville. It'll catch up with me somewhere. I think they're going to send it back to Detroit, so hopefully by the time I get to Detroit, you know, my wife will be there. Amen. My Bible is like my wife. I married that thing, you know, and I take it everywhere I go, and, you know, and I talk to it. It talks back to me. You know, I try to correct it, but it corrects me, you know. Some things has got in there that I really just don't want to do right now, but, you know I need to do it because it's there. And isn't that how the preacher work with you? There's some things that you know you got to do, and you know you need to do it, but you're just not ready to do it right now. Oh, that's just me. But anyway, I was looking at the three different ways that, you know, we come back to the Lord a lot of times, you know, and I'm reminded of the prodigal son as being one way, you know, how he was there in the house, you know, and he got all his goods and he left and went out, you know, and sometimes we kind of lump them all up and just make it one way. And he got out there and started living one way, different than how he was raised. And the thing about that one is that nobody went out there and said anything to him. Did y'all know that? Nobody went out there and said anything to him. But his senses returned to him. And then he came back in the house. He came back. Sometimes you can't say a whole lot to folks, but their senses have to return to them, and then they automatically return. Then there's the one that sits in church and try to listen to the word of God, try to get it, and you know, but somehow they stumble, they just not grasping, and they turn on their TV and hear a TV evangelist or someone, and then they get tangled up a little bit. And sometimes they get the feeling, like I had a brother in the church that told me, he says, "Brother Go, I feel like I need to evangelize, and I feel I'm called to the ministry." And I asked him just one simple question. I says, "Well, what would it take for me to be saved?" He said, "Well, I'm working on that." I say, "Well, you're not ready to go yet." Because if you're going to evangelize and you don't have no idea what it takes to get me saved, don't you? And you ain't got no reason to be out there trying to convince somebody to be saved, and you don't know what you're doing. So you can get tangled up out there, and that's the one that he leaves the 99, and he goes after that one. And he put him on his shoulders, and he bring that one back home. So that's two ways, right? One leave and God deal with him and he returned. The other one get tangled up in a whole lot of stuff and you got to go out and get that one. Then there's another one that's concerning the lost coin. But that one is a little different. That one was lost in the house. Right in the house. And the scripture says that they swept the house. You have to sometimes find that one that's sitting up here and that's going through the motions and not getting the lessons, but just as lost as if they were sitting out there. Did y'all know that? Did you know you could sit in the house of God and actually be lost? Yes. And I don't want to be that one, because you're sitting in a dangerous place and you're hearing the word of God and yet you can't grab it, but they're lost. So the preacher sweeps the house with the word of God and finds that coin that's lost in the house. That coin finally is got possessed of God now. And it's paying attention. It's in there. And sometimes that in relationship is how we are as a people. And sometimes we can leave God sitting in the house. Sometimes we go out and we leave, and sometimes someone pulls us away and we're gone. But God has a remedy for every last one of those. And I was talking to Brother Smith earlier. We was talking about dogs. And, you know, I got a little training, you know, and a brother taught me how to train dogs, and you know, and in the process of doing that, I learned a biblical lesson in training a dog. And actually, Brother Smith gave a good lesson today in training a dog. And we've been talking about that a little bit, treeing the coon, you know. I ain't learned how to tree them yet, but I know, you know, I keep running. Amen. I run with the big dogs. I'm going to get it. But see, when we got saved, the Bible says this, that he was going to baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with sugar. And we all would be sweet and go on into heaven. Y'all like that? That's an easier gospel, isn't it? Huh? But yeah, it sounds good. That makes it easier on us. But he said he was going to baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with... It's a package deal. Y'all know that, right? Personally, I don't like the fire. That's me. I don't know about you. Everybody say, oh, thank God for the fire. You know, I just don't like the fire, but I know it's a package deal. Because the fire is designed to get me into a place with God that I ordinarily wouldn't go because of the fire. When you see a fire out there, everybody run to the fire. I'm not one of them. I'm not all that enthused about running to the fire, but, you know, I'll stand on the porch and watch things burn. But there's a fireman going to do their job. They're going to put it out. But back in training this dog, I found this. I'm telling two stories at the same time. They'll work together in a minute. When I started training this dog, I wanted this dog to do something particularly. I wanted the dog to do everything I said. But that he didn't come like that. We don't come like that. Y'all know that, right? So he told the fellow that was working with me and helping me with the dog, he says, well, I want you to put a chain around his neck. And I want you to take him for a walk. So I strapped the chain around his neck and I took him for a walk. And it looked like the dog was walking me everywhere. The dog was just going all over the place. He says, every time the dog go off the sidewalk, he says, yank the chain just a little bit, yank the chain, and says, come here. Come here. And I kept doing that. Finally, the dog got adjusted to me yanking the chain and saying, come here. He says, now, he says, he's not ready yet. He's not ready yet. He says, now I want you to take a rope and I want you to put it around the dog's neck and I want you to take the dog for a walk again and do the same thing. And I walk the dog. He's still pulling. I yank the chain. I says, the rope. And I says, come here. And guess what? Eventually, he started coming here. And I went through this process four times. And he says, now get a lighter rope. And I did the same thing. Then he told me, he says, now we're down to the point where we're going to see if all the rest of that worked. And he says, now I want you to get a kite string. And I want you to go through the same process after I don't want through this. And I got the kite string and I yanked the kite string just a little light in the dog. Just got back on the sidewalk. And he says, now go through that process for a minute. And I did. Then he says, now I want you to take the kite string off the dog. And I just want you to talk to him. And I said, come here. And what happened is the dog began, his sensitivity kept changing every time I yoked him up with a lighter yoke. That's what Jesus said. My yoke, my burden, my yoke is easy. And the burden is light. So I yoked him up real hard with the chain, and he responded, and that trained him to get a little more sensitive every time I change what I yoked him up to. Do you know that's just like us? God keep allowing us to get yoked up to things that are hard. A good preacher, you'll find out if you dig in that preacher's life, you'll find out that he done went through some rough stuff to learn how to stay on the sidewalk. Huh? Amen. Don't get me wrong, preachers. We get good ideas. I got a good idea how to run the church. I got a good idea how to build the church. I got a good idea how the sisters should do this. I got a good idea, brothers, how we should do that. I got wonderful ideas. But as high as the heavens are from the earth, so are my ways different than yours, man. So that means all my good ideas might not be what God wants. So he have to yoke me up and get me used to stand on the sidewalk. Do this make sense? So he baptized us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Yeah, is that right? And he keep pulling on us. And after a while, we become so sensitive that we can hear the voice of God without having to go through a major trial. How about that? All these trials is training us and getting our ear prepared so that we can hear what he's saying. A lot of times we can't hear what God's saying unless we're going through something, and that's the only time we'll approach God and spend time with God. But when things happen to us, we'll spend time with God. We'll get up early in the morning. We'll fast. We'll pray. We'll do a lot of stuff to spend time with God because we want to hear from God. And all God is doing is giving us a yank with whatever type of yoke he got us yoked up to at this present time. Some are yoked up to the economy, and he gives the economy a yank, and we come to him. We're back on the sidewalk. Huh? Yeah, God, yank your money. You back on the sidewalk. Huh? Yeah, you get a pocket full of it. You're all in the air and you're on boats. You're everywhere. We can't find you for church time. But let them yank the boat. Then you say, well, I'm going to church. Why? Because you ain't got a boat no more. Huh? So there's certain things that God got to actually use to yank you back to him. Whether it's mama, whether it's husband, whether it's dad, whether it's children, whether it's illness, whatever it is, he's yanking on us. And he's getting us back on the road so that we can hear him. Hallelujah. We want to hear him, don't we? He said, he that has an ear, let him hear. Do you know the Spirit is always talking to us, but we won't pay it attention unless he pulls us in a certain direction to hear him. Hallelujah. Are we ready to hear him? Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, he know where to put you so you can hear him. Listen to what David said. Now, this take a minute to tie into what I'm saying. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We use that scripture, and we use it in the sense that David have got the word down on the inside of him and have no idea where it's at because he hid it. You only hide valuable things that you don't want someone to remove. Huh? When you hide it, why are you hiding? Why did David hide the word? Huh? He didn't want it to be removed through circumstances and through things that he was going through. We hide the word of God in our heart, and God is the one that takes that wonderful Holy Ghost that he's yanking us with. And that Holy Ghost began to just go right down on the inside, right where you hear that word. And right, it's on the left-hand side. It's over here. He knows exactly where you got it, and he speaks to it. Huh? And when them two get together, the Holy Ghost and the word, guess what it do? It start producing that way, the way we should go. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water, and he turneth the whithersoever way he will. Proverbs 21, is that 21 and 1? Yes. So he want to turn you, but he need something to turn you with. And we hide that in our heart. Those three fellas I was talking about earlier, we're talking about lost. There's a difference in being lost and hiding something. Lost is when you have no idea where it's at. Huh? Did we lose thy word? Have I lost in my heart that I might not sin against you? When you lost it, that means you can't access it at any given time because it's lost. If it's hid, you know where it's at. You know where it's at, and you can access it. Huh? If you remember your combination. If you remember what it's there for. It's there so I will not sin. That's why he hid it, so he won't sin. So when Jesus was going through things, guess what? He just accessed it. He just went in and accessed that word that was in his heart. And he said, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. So there's a lot of things that is going on in our lives that God is dealing with us about that is hid in our hearts. And it's not all the word of God. Can I make that plain? It's not all the word of God that's hid in our hearts. You know, there's a lot of things that works in our flesh, isn't it? I believe in, what is that in Galatians 5 and 17? It talks about the works of the flesh. All that is in the heart. That stuff, and it start coming out. But a lot of times we don't know it's there until we're going through something or something touches that, and then that is what manifests. Words cause things to manifest in our lives that we don't know that's there. Words are spiritual. Words are invisible. You don't see what's coming out of my mouth, but I can touch you and I can change your attitude just with words. I ain't got to touch you. I ain't got to lay a hand on you to change who you are. Words change who you are. Isn't that right? Huh? If I start talking harsh to you, guess what? It's going to bring something out of you. Huh? You'll find out if you get mad quick or if you get an attitude, it'll bring that attitude out of you. Words will bring an attitude out of you. Yes. So I can take words and maneuver and move you around in different aspects of life. Just like God take words and move us from place to place. The carnal man can do the same thing. Because he says, I know your heart. Well, how is my heart? It's deceitful above all things. And it's, you know what it means by it's desperately wicked? It'll do whatever it want to do to get its way. It'll do whatever is necessary to be done to get its way. So God, his word, along with the baptism of the fire, is to bring us back to a place to burn those things up that are working in our heart so that we will not be willing to have our way in every and any condition. I know I'm just talking just plain and just, you know, real simple tonight, but you already don't drink. Amen. You don't already shout it. You don't already dance. So I'm not trying to get you to shout. I just want you to really take this in. Amen. So when you go home and you get into a place and you consider who you are, that you are a spiritual being. See, because now when God made Adam, he made Adam in the likeness and in the image of God, made he him male and female and called their name Adam. And so if we're made in the image of God, then that means there's something in us that looks like God. Because we're in the image, we're in a reflection, we can reflect God. And I think the only part of us that really has the ability to reflect God is our soul. I think that's the only part of us that can really reflect God. But you know what? We lost the ability to reflect God when Adam sinned. When Adam sinned, we couldn't reflect God anymore. Because, you know, you can't, if you're in sin, you can't reflect God. So God had to build a new place for us to be in. That's why we have to be born again. Why? Because we have to be born in another place to be able to have the ability to reflect God. Amen. Do this make sense? So you see, that caused you to be spiritual, doesn't it? Now, let me. Brother Smith said something earlier in the beginning of the service. I love atheists. I love to talk to them fellas. Because that's where I was before God saved me. I had just professed atheism a week before he gave me the Holy Ghost. That's why I love to associate with those atheists that say, well, there's no God. I love to talk to them. Because, for one, the reason why we were saying that there was no God, because we didn't know who we were. And if you don't know who you are, yes, it's hard for you to relate to God because you can't see him, you can't touch him, you can't feel him. But let me work on that just a minute here and see if this makes sense. How many of you in here got a conscience? Everybody? Everybody got one? Last I heard, you know. Quick question. Is that natural or is that spiritual? It's natural? Okay. No, hold on. Let's work on it a minute. Let's tap into that. Okay. It's spiritual. Why is that spiritual, Brother Gore? Because it only operates in the invisible. It's something that cannot be physically accessed. You can't access it. How many of you seen a conscience before? Man, I was walking down the street. That conscience was just walking. Anybody? How many of you have touched one before? Let's go here. How many of you have felt one? Oh, you could feel it, but you can't touch it and you can't see it. You can't handle it. So that means it's what? Because it's in the invisible. Now, listen to this scripture here, 1 Peter 3:21. He says, the like figure whereunto baptism does now also save us. He says it's not the putting, in other words, it doesn't stop you from sin. It's not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but it's a what? Say that a little louder.
Answer.
It's an answer. Well, what was the question? Y'all hear me? Your conscience is an answer toward who? Toward God. So I have no idea what the question is, but God is talking to me, and that spiritual content that's within me is responding and answering God. And that's without my permission. I know we got it all divided into subconscious and, you know, the levels of consciousness. But it doesn't make a difference what level you put it on. It's still going to come out spiritual. Okay, hold up. Imagination. Natural or spiritual? Are we in class tonight? Yes. I told you we already shouted. Conscience is what? Natural or spiritual? Imagination. Let's go there. I got one natural. Can I get two? Can I do one natural? Two. Come on. Somebody give me two. Give me two. Spiritual also. Why? Because you can't access it. Huh? No, it doesn't make a difference what you imagine. You can't touch it. You can't touch it. You can't see it. You can't access it. It's. You can imagine yourself right out of this room. Some of y'all are in the mall right now looking for shoes. I'm talking to you and you're gone. How many times Brother Smith don't stood behind this little box right here talking to you and you are somewhere else? But guess what? You're sitting right there. You never left the room, but you're gone. Natural or spiritual? See, because it only operates in the spirit. So a lot of you, have you ever talked to someone and you're talking to them and you're just talking to them and talking to them and then all of a sudden they come back and you say, where were you? Well, I'm standing right here in front of you. What you asking me where I'm at? Because you were gone. Then you really get them. Now, what did I say? They're standing right in front of you and they have no idea what you said. Why?
They were gone.
See, and now that's a principle about, remember what I was telling you about the training? About the training and keeping, you know, give it a yank. See, you got to give that fella a yank and make sure that you're in here. Because you cannot be taught the word of God. You cannot hear the word of God unless you're present. If you don't train your imagination, the standards room, this is what scripture tells us. It says that we should be able to cast down every high imagination that exalts itself above the knowledge of God and bring into what? Captivity every thought. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Ain't that something? You're letting your thoughts get away. You sit in church and you let your thoughts get away. But when you bring those thoughts and make them sit here, and then the word of God come across here and start working on those thoughts, they begin to change and conform to God, conform to holiness, conform to sanctification, conform to righteousness, because the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it separates things in us. And there's no other substance on earth that can separate the soul from the spirit, because the soul of you has the ability to reflect God. So it's got to be dressed properly. It's got to be able to be accessible. But only by God. Our soul shouldn't be tainted from the things of this world. He put us in the world, but we are not of this world. Who are we? Okay, imagination, natural or spiritual? Oh, you're learning who you are now. See, you're learning who you are. See, we always talk about, yeah, my spiritual man, but we have no idea what he's made up of. We know about God, we know about the Holy Ghost, we know about everything else, but we don't know who we are made up of. Ain't that something? Oh, maybe I'm going too deep here, Brother Smith. I get carried away and I start teaching. And, you know, but I just recognize who I am in the Lord. Can I give one more? Can I give one more? Dreams. Dreams. Natural or spiritual? Huh? No, it ain't got nothing to do with what you're dreaming. It has nothing to do with what you're dreaming. Because you cannot get in that dream and do what you want. You can't, and most of the time when you wake up, you can't even access that dream that you just had. Natural is spiritual. No. See, no, I'm telling you what's going on in the spirit, because what I'm doing is I'm addressing who we are inside. See, because God is dealing with our insides, and a lot of times we don't recognize God dealing with our insides. What did Job say over there in Job, the 33rd chapter? He says, in a dream, he says, the Lord speak once, yea, twice, in a dream, in a vision, while men slumbering up on their bed. Then God speaks to them. Why did he do that? That he may withdraw man from his purpose. Yeah, well, that's what I'm dealing with. Huh? Right. Well, see, when I was an atheist, I didn't know all this was happening in me, but I professed all this. I had dreams. My imagination was working perfectly. It was fine until the word of God came, and then I took the word of God in. Now I'm saying, oh, sin, what you mean? See, that's what Paul was saying. Then without the law, he said, I was okay, but when the word of God came, when the law came, it revived sin in me. Now everything in my life had become exceedingly sinful. Why? Because the word of God has shined in my heart and revealed who I am. Hello? Okay, where was I? Dreams. Natural or spiritual? How many of you laying there in your bed You woke up. Whew. Man, that serpent was chasing me. I ran up the tree. And when I climbed up in that tower, then all the serpents died. Oh, that's it. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they're saved. That's what happened to me in my dream. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's probably what really happened to you. But guess what? All that activity, and guess where you were? You're still in your bed. You haven't left the room. You're still in the room there. You don't been in a tower. You don't swam the ocean. You don't got swallowed up like Jonah in a whale. And there just wasn't nothing else to do. You just tapping on his tonsils and boxing. You know, all different kind of things happen to us. But that's happening to us, and we're laying in the bed, and we haven't went anywhere. Didn't leave the room. Wake up, tell me I'm thirsty. Man, I've been going for long. Woo! Some of you wake up crying. My wife, we got in an argument one time, and she just knew that she won this one. Of course, she's getting pretty good. She's winning most. I shouldn't have told them that. They feel like they got something now. But this one, I was right. Glory to God. And so she called herself that. And, you know, sometimes when me and my wife, we don't get into, we don't get into those arguments. And my testimony is my children have never heard me and my wife argue. And when I get back home on the 5th of February, that would be our 33rd year of being married. And my children have never heard us argue. I didn't say we didn't argue. But there's a principle that I set in that house when we start serving God. Either we be an example before the children or we're not. So they tell you, their testimony is, I ain't never heard my mom and dad argue. I seen dad mad, but I ain't never heard him argue. Not with mom. With us. With us, yeah. You know. But anyway, what happened? We got into this little argument, and I left, and I told her, I said, well, I'm going to go out. And I drove down to the church and just sat down in church, you know, going to meditate, you know, get real spiritual, because when I come back, I'm going to straighten this all out. But in the process of that, the wife fell asleep. And so now I don't got real spiritual. I feel like I'm having one of them Paul and Ananias experiences. You know, I'm sitting there blind as a bat because I really don't know what to do and how to, I don't gave, you know how you talk and you say, well, it's kind of like you don't gave every kind of scenario you can make up and, you know, to make them understand what you're saying. And she still didn't understand what I'm saying, so that's how I had to leave it. So I'm meditating, trying to get another scenario so I can say, well, it's like a snowball rolling down the hill on a sunny day. I wanted to give her something that would, and it would click, but I couldn't. So she went to sleep, and in her dream, I died. I walked in the house. Because I couldn't think of nothing to give this woman to kind of make her see that I want to do the right thing and I'm trying to do the right thing, but this is the only way I understand how to do it. And I already don't gave her every scenario to fix it. I went in the house and I walked through the door and she grabbed me. Oh, baby, honey, honey. She called me so many wonderful names. I was like, wow, I feel anointed now. And after all that, then I ask her, I say, well, what happened? Because she got big tears. I mean, puddles. Man, that I could mop the floor with all that water on the floor. And she's still pouring it out. And she said, baby, you died. I said, no, I'm standing here. She said, no, you died. And it was so real to her in that dream that it caused this response in the physical. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And I says, no, honey, I'm okay. She says, no, but God don't dealt with me. She says, and you died. And she went to repenting and saying she was so sorry. And that didn't do nothing but draw the same substance out of me. As she began to repent to me, then mine swelled up. Well, I'm sorry too. And we just, I don't know what I'm crying for, but it just, that's my wife. That's my other half. And while she's doing that, I'm, you know. And so we found that meeting place where she's sorry, I'm sorry. Okay, well, let's go out. Let's go get a bite to eat. You know, we're saints. I don't care what the condition is, we eat. If I die, we eat. We get married, we eat. We came to Little Rock, and guess what we did? It don't make a difference. We look for occasions to eat. So, dreams, natural or spiritual? It's the same principle. Do y'all see what I'm saying? What we're doing, we're accessing the inner man and those different parts that God actually deals with. He deals with us in dreams. He deals with us with our imagination. He deals with us with our conscience. And he's dealing with these parts. And a lot of times we ignore God and we identify these parts. And so as an atheist, remember that's why I went here. As an atheist, I didn't know that these parts were spiritual. And I'm having problems in these parts.